shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
Got a little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Wednesday, the 21st of July, and after a day of lockdowns, late night flights and fixture changes, it's time for another Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tom on the phone from the Gold Coast. And Tommy, COVID is top of the agenda again, this time to do with the payers play.
Thanks, Rudy. I want to discuss what's been a dramatic 24 hours, in particular for Port Adelaide, and St Kilda shortly. But I'll start with a big story that I've learned of this morning in regards to the financial impact of this COVID situation. All the clubs met yesterday with the AFL, obviously via Zoom, to discuss the players' pay issues for next year, the impact of COVID, and also the impact on the football departments and what clubs can spend. Now, I've reported that the soft cap will only go up by $200,000 or $300,000 next year. That's going to be decided at the next president's meeting, and I'll discuss the impact of that shortly. But what I've learned this morning is there's a figure being bandied about amongst the clubs that in the last 3 weeks, if you take into account club losses through spectators not being able to attend the footy, and now huge membership and sponsorship uncertainty, there's a view that the last 3 weeks has cost the AFL up to $50 million. That's the view being discussed in club land, and it came up yesterday. Now, I haven't audited that figure, but that's the figure I'm hearing. Either way, give or take, it's a huge amount of money. And what now is happening in clubland is a real discussion about how much the players should get paid and also how much the football departments should increase by. And there's certainly a view that the industry is going to lose good people, namely assistant coaches, if they don't increase that football department cap by more than what's been proposed. But coming back to the players' pay point, there was an expectation pre these latest lockdowns with South Australia, New South Wales and Victorian lockdown, that the players would get back some of what they had to cut last year, which was about 7.5%. And there was a view that the Players Association would push for a 15% pay rise over the next 3 years. It's my understanding this morning that some clubs and some influential administrators may push now for a player and further pay cut. The finances of the clubs, they're bleeding, and the AFL is bleeding, and the whole financial model at the moment is under tremendous pressure. So off the back of that meeting yesterday, discussion could turn now from a player pay rise to a player pay cut.
Wow, that's huge news. What do you have any sight on what the pay cut would look like at all?
No, I don't know. I just think there's a view amongst some influential administrators that the players are going to have to bear some more of this now because the football departments have already borne the brunt. The members and the club members at the moment can't go to the football. And at some point, the model breaks. Now, I think this is going to be a big discussion about this now.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a big discussion about this now. That's a huge wait and see on that one. In the meantime, Tommy, you've got some news on the Giants.
The Giants, my understanding this morning, Rudy, are looking at whether they can get their players into some home quarantine that's been initiated by the players. I'm very mindful of Toby Green's mental health, and it's not my area. But in terms of facts that have been presented to me this morning, I understand Toby took the news of not being able to play the other night very badly. He tried to warm up before the game and did warm up before the game, contrary to some instructions given to him. That's an open, I think, fact amongst the AFL community up here that I've learnt of this morning. He also at one point proposed to drive back. He was emotional. I'm told that he proposed, obviously in an emotional setting, to drive back to Victoria and punched a wall. So Toby was very, very upset. And it's my understanding that he's now investigating himself in conjunction with the club whether he can get a house for them to serve the balance of their 14 days quarantine up in Brisbane. And I understand they're investigating that this morning. So mindful of Toby's mental health, I think it's fair to say there was some a huge reaction to the news pre-game that he couldn't play the other night. He's just not the type of guy that's really built for hotel quarantine, you know, or room quarantine. You know, he likes being out and about. He's an enthusiastic guy. And there were some facts that I can talk to this morning pre-game that just point to how distressed he was. We saw him and the group leaving Metricon, and I must say they didn't look happy, nor should have they look happy. But that's what they're investigating this morning. I think the Swans will follow suit and try and find out if their players and officials can do the same thing.
Well, okay. I hope Toby Green is okay. That sounds like he's taking that really roughly, and hopefully they can find a solution that works well for everyone there. On another note, Tommy, what's happening at Hawthorn?
So the Hawthorn succession plan is hanging in the balance, Rudy. I understand that Sam Mitchell's going to speak this morning, and it's important that he speaks, in my view, because Caroline Wilson reported on the Footy Show that Sam Mitchell is of the opinion and expressed in a meeting that he would prefer to coach next year and for Clarkson, Alistair Clarkson, to step away. Now, A, we need to find out if that's true, and B, it obviously isn't Mitchell's decision. This meeting that Caroline Wilson revealed on Footy Classified is sort of the biggest whodunit in football, I guess, since the leaking of the Do Better report, in terms of who leaked it. What's emerged is that Mitchell and Clarkson had a meeting last week with a leading teams expert and also the Hawthorn footy manager, I think Justin Reeves, where they discussed the handover. Now, Caroline Wilson described that as a mediation, and Jeff Kennett furiously rejected that for 7 years yesterday, saying it wasn't a mediation, it was a planned meeting as part of the succession plan. And Caroline Wilson also reported that Jeff Kennett was prepared to pay Clarkson his million or $1.2 million. So effectively pay it out. So, you know, with a preference that Mitchell come on as coach next year, again, Jeff Kennett furiously rejected that, saying that it was a complete fabrication, that report. Caroline Wilson also reported, to paraphrase, that Sam would prefer to take over next year. And I think Sam Mitchell is going to address that issue today. So the Hawthorn succession plan, which is, in all fairness, being directed by Justin Reeves, the CEO, and Jeff Kennett, being the president, they seem to have it under control. But there's an outstanding question as to where the leak came from this so-called mediation or meeting, or whatever you want to call it, this sit-down, to borrow an old Sopranos term, and also whether it's true that Mitchell wants to be the coach next year and would prefer to be there without Alistair Clarkson. So I wouldn't say the succession plan is hanging in the balance, but it's already choppy 2 or 3 weeks in, Rudy.
Yeah, it's yet another wait and see there. That's a fair bit to play out, I imagine. And then finally, Tommy, we mentioned off the top that there's been quite a bit of COVID chaos and some fixturing changes. What's happening with St Kilda, Adelaide and Port Adelaide?
Mate, I'll start with St Kilda. Some real drama in their camp. Rowan Marshall was exposed to a Tier 1 site, being the Precinct Hotel in Richmond. He was already Tier 3 from going to the rugby. He was exposed to a Tier 1 site because he had a beer at the Precinct on the way home and went, played on Saturday, then went, flew to Perth with the site. Obviously, they informed the WA government. The WA government put St Kilda back into their room for about 14 to 18 hours or so while they worked out what to do with the game. They obviously worked out in the Premier of WA's words yesterday that he was low risk. So the game's going ahead. Marshall is in isolation over with the team and will probably, depending on whether it cross-contaminates or the risk of cross-contaminates, fly back with them on Sunday at this stage. They're working through that. But that game was in danger of being called off, certainly, at one stage. But the WA government's saved the situation there. Separately yesterday, this is what the AFL was dealing with at the same time. Adelaide and Port, because South Australia's in lockdown, lost their government right to train and play. They weren't allowed to train. They certainly weren't allowed to play over there this weekend. Collingwood, for example, Friday night in Port's case. The AFL furiously had to try and find out whether they could go yesterday. Queensland wasn't an option because both teams have been in Victoria in the last 14 days. The AFL's only option was Victoria, and both teams flew to Victoria last night. So those games rescheduled. Obviously, the game out Metricon on Friday night, Port against Collingwood. So it was an absolutely dramatic day yesterday. I've also reported, Rudy, that Gil McLaughlin was pretty upset on the club call over the weekend on Saturday that those players and officials had been to the rugby. The clubs are a bit upset with that, some of them, because they think that Gil is being out and about himself. I think he went to a theatre event last week. But Gil's effectively isolated and not with a big group of players. So I think they're separate arguments, and both the players and Hill have done nothing wrong. But obviously the issue is whether there's one of double standards, and there's a bit of dialogue going on in the background in regards to all that. But Hill was very upset that the players had been to the rugby. In particular, the AFL was upset at the COVID protocols at AAMI, or lack thereof. You might have seen the pictures of the crowds at Gate 7. That's certainly apparently not in accordance with the COVID safe protocols that the MCG employs. So I think the AFL was pretty surprised at how willy-nilly or lax the COVID protocols were at the rugby. It took them by surprise.
Yes, indeed. I did see those photos, and it looked pretty packed there at Gate 7. Just on the Adelaide and Port Adelaide thing, their Round 19 fixture coming into this week was the Western Bulldogs in Ballarat. Then on Monday, it looked like they were going to play Hawthorn in Adelaide. Then on Tuesday, it looked like they were going to play Hawthorn in Melbourne. Then it looked like they were going to play Port Adelaide in Adelaide, and now they're back to playing Hawthorn in Melbourne. So I imagine that's played havoc with their with their opposition analysis this week.
Yeah, it would have, Rudy. But I mean, the key point at the moment, I think the key takeout is this season, Gil McLaughlin told the clubs, he said, this is keeping on going. If you guys have players that have to isolate, you've got lists, we're not stopping while we can keep playing. So it's up to you guys. There's, you know, there's been talk about a bye this week and all that sort of stuff. There's been strong pushback from the AFL on that issue. Whether St Kilda and Roland Marshall is a bit of a tipping point on the integrity issue, I don't personally don't think it is, and that's not the impression that I get. You know, the AFL is intent on playing while it can, and I think so long as there's no positive test, particularly from these players now, Green and Marshall exposed to T1 sides, I think there's another St Kilda player that was, but he doesn't play very regularly. Then he's not in the team.
Darragh Joyce is his name, the fellow you're thinking of?
Yep. So, you know, at the moment, so long as no one tests positive, the AFL will just keep rolling on, and that's the situation we find ourselves in.
Indeed. And in the spirit of rolling on, I think we should end it there for today, Tommy. There's plenty of news getting around, I'm sure, but we'll be back on Friday morning to talk more about all of the footy goings on around the traps with you up on the Gold Coast. Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. Speak to you again soon.
Thanks, Rudy.